The word today is pride. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. C.S. Lewis once said, "Pride is the greatest sin of all." That is probably true. Pride causes us to commit many other sins. When we are proud, we feel that we are good enough and don't need God. Here to lead us in this study is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Pride.
One of the things that continuously raises its ugly head in our lives is our individual pride. And I'm going to be looking at a gospel text today that I think will bear that out, because in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we are told that we are to do these things by which we worship God and praise Him. We are to do them humbly and not for the praise of men. You know, our pride, we always want to be recognized for what we do, don't we? We like to have the applause of people. We like everyone to think we're really great. And a lot of time, our pride gets way ahead of us to the point where we are not quite what we think we are. We think we're really special, and yet the truth is, we should be very humble instead of full of pride. Think of this for a minute. Is there something within you without which you would be nothing? I know that's a little bit tough to get a hold of, but think of it for a minute. Is there something in you, in what you regard yourself to be, without which you would be nothing? I think that's quite a question. Is there something that could make you feel like you were worth nothing at all? Now think of that for a minute. You know, pride is a form of self-worship. We think we are so good, we can't understand why most people don't recognize how wonderful we are. You know, the worst kind of an idol is a good idol, when you think you're really doing something pretty good. It's kind of like when you have something extremely important to do, and you know it should be done, and yet you do something else. Now, maybe that something else is good in itself. Maybe you go fishing, maybe you go bowling, or maybe you do something, work in your garden, which in and of itself isn't so bad. But instead of doing what really should be done, you're replacing it with something of secondary importance, and that makes it bad, because it's keeping you from doing the most important thing. I really do believe there are times in my life where that sort of thing happens, where I know I really should be getting something done on something very important, and yet we get preoccupied with something else that we feel will be easier, won't take as much time, or that we can get into, without too much effort. And then we ignore the most important things. Let's say, for instance, like worshiping or praying. How often do we plan to read the Bible and get into the Bible for a couple chapters that day, and then something else comes along? Either we have a late breakfast, or some other person phones us, and before long we're on a different track and we're doing something else than we really wanted to do. You know, I remember many, many years ago, I'm going to say this has to be a good 50 years ago, hearing a speech, and the illustration was used in that speech, that there was a student at St. Olaf's College. This was in Minnesota, I believe, and a banquet was given to honor this student because he was magna cum laude. In other words, he was quite a brain, and he was doing very, very well, one of the best scholars. And at this banquet, this young student became so embarrassed because his dad, who was a farmer and didn't know much about politeness and what to do at a banquet, his dad poured a little of his coffee into the saucer to cool it off and then slurped it from the saucer. And the story went that the young student was so embarrassed, he didn't know what to do because his father had done this, until what he noticed was that the college president, who had noticed this, also poured some of his coffee in the saucer and slupped it, whatever the word is, into his mouth from the saucer. And all of a sudden, everyone realized, well, we better not be making an issue of this, because even the college president went along and did this same thing in order to save the father some embarrassment. I love that story. I love that story. Where we take the side of the person who is doing something a little socially unacceptable in order to save him the embarrassment. And I also remember another story back from those days. I would frequently write my little notes on different subjects, like pride, and then I would list some of the experiences and some of the things I had heard or read regarding that particular theme. And in those notes, going back to 1958, I had a note that Dr. Einstein, who had gone to a banquet at the Plaza Hotel, now I guess the Plaza Hotel in those days was very sophisticated. I mean, you know, you wouldn't bother to show up there, for instance, without being properly dressed. And yet, Einstein did. He showed up wearing a turtleneck sweater and a stocking cap. In other words, he knew who he was. It didn't matter to him what other people thought of him. It didn't matter how they might laugh at him or ridicule him. He knew who he was, and he understood that he should be at that banquet, and yet he didn't care what people thought about his turtleneck sweater. And so I guess I'm trying to point out that we shouldn't be too embarrassed, and we shouldn't be too easily ridiculed, I guess, or feel hurt if somebody wants to laugh at us, if somebody wants to think we did something stupid or wrong. We should know ourselves well enough and not be put down by people who want to poke fun at us. Now, this whole issue of pride enters into this Matthew 6 chapter where Jesus is talking. He's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is his entire sermon. In fact, I think it would be excellent if Christians would read that at least once or twice a year just to become very, very familiar with it. It's the longest sermon that we have from Jesus in terms of his preaching. And in the sixth chapter, he tells us to not look for the admiration and the praise of other people. He says, if you're giving alms and you're helping the poor, don't do it with the sound of trumpets and a fanfare and make sure that everyone watches to see how good you are. That you receive the applause of men that way, you will receive praise, but not from God. God doesn't like that parading of yourself as though you're something wonderful. And so he says here, when you pray in the same way, beginning at verse 5 of Matthew, the sixth chapter, he says, in the same way, don't stand out in the street like the Pharisees do, and make a big show of it, maybe get down and kneel, or as the Pharisees did in those days, they just raised their hands up to heaven and waved them back and forth so that everyone would make sure to see that they were praying and how long they were praying and how sincere they were with the frowns on their face and everything, that they were really showing off for the admiration of people and not for the sincerity in their heart of coming before God. And so Jesus then teaches them how they should pray and what kind of language they should use in their prayer. That's where we have the Lord's Prayer. One of the times it appears in the Bible, it occurs there twice. But here in Matthew 6, one of those occasions is found beginning at verse 9. Actually, in the middle of verse 9. Now, I guess the point I'm trying to get at today is when you do the three things that Jesus says Christians should do. Here we're told we ought to give, is talking about giving to the poor. He tells us we ought to pray, that's about worshiping him, and we ought to fast. Now, I believe in our congregation here, of which my son and I are pastors, we do the first two things pretty sincerely. We have had a lot of effort given over the years, over the decades even, to giving, and giving in a sincere way and in a sacrificial way. And God has blessed us in fantastic ways that we have been able to do a worldwide ministry called The Word Today, which is the radio program you're listening to. This would not be possible if it were not for God motivating the members of our parish to give sacrificially. They give in a way that allows us to go on the air all over the world. You know, you can't do that freely anymore. You got to pay for airtime, you got to pay for announcers, you got to pay for the transcripts being produced and translated and so on. And so it does take a lot of money. We thank God that some of our listeners send in gifts, but the vast majority of it, I'd say at least 95% of it, comes from our congregation and from the donations that our members give to this ministry. Praise God for that. But the bottom line is the praying and the giving are basic things that Christians should do. So is fasting. And I'm of the opinion we don't do enough fasting. I'm not even sure all of our members do fast at all. And I think we need to talk more about that. Maybe at some point in the future, I'll develop a type of study of the subject of fasting, and we can talk about that together and share that together. But in the meantime here, let's just keep focusing on not getting proud and not doing things, not doing our giving and our praying as if we are something special, as if we are doing it for the applause of people. God forbid that we do that. God would dislike that very much. He wants us to do it out of love for Him and out of true, sincere worship from our heart to glorify His name. And that's what this ministry is all about. We want to praise God for sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior. We know that Jesus died for us, paid for our sins, and offers us now total forgiveness that we can live with Him forever in heaven. That's what it's all about, not our pride and not what we do, but what God has done for us, and He wants to do the very same thing for you. May God bless you and keep you in His care.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.